This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Today we're lucky to have with us Dr. Floy Lilly. Floy right now is a visiting scholar at the Mises Institute, and one of the projects she's helping us with is recording Murray Rothbard's Conceived in Liberty, his great four-volume History of Colonial America and other books. But her actual background has to do with a key issue today, global warming, climate change, and opposing, let's say, the Al Gore view of things. Floy taught and researched at the University of Texas Free Enterprise Chair, but probably more important, she was a UN representative at 22 United Nations climate conferences, for which I'm sure she deserves a gold medal for having been able to sit through those things. Seems to me like a very tough assignment. But she knows her stuff. She knows the actual science of so-called global warming. She knows what's going on. And Floy, I noticed that these days they've stopped talking about global warming. Al Gore and the rest of the crew now discuss climate change. And I guess this is because there's a lot of evidence there might be global cooling going on. So whatever is changing, we have to empower the federal government with taxes and with regulations to attempt to run the global climate and, of course, tax us and run our lives even more.
Well, it might be global freezing. It might be global frying. But it's going to be global governance of some sort, I believe, so that you, Lou, will be permitted to breathe in, but quite possibly not out. I remember being in 1997 in Kyoto, where the big congealing of a global law about breathing out began. And it was clear then that it didn't matter that India and China, Russia, etc., were not going to be part of this protocol, of this international law, even though they were just on the beginning edge of being lesser developed countries and then needing their own industrial revolutions, that just essentially the Western world, Europe and America, especially America, was going to be brought to pay for this damage that they're causing. Now, remember 1975 when it was the coming ice age? Well, the fault for the coming ice age, of course, lay at man and humankind. This cancer on the earth that was going to destroy everything because of a coming ice age. Stephen Schneider, Al Gore, the same people who were alarming us about our coming ice age because of our breathing out, same thing, were then all of the people who put together all of the conferences in which science was never discussed. So the science questions were never on the table in any of those 22 meetings. It was always, we know that catastrophic global warming currently is being caused by man, so what are we going to do about it? Primarily, how much will Americans need to pay developing countries, essentially, so that America is brought to the level of all of the rest of the lesser developing world? So it was always intended to be a transfer payment on a global basis. It's interesting today that rather recently there are cracks in this. Some people feel like maybe they've paid enough or don't have any more money to pay for some of these big projects and these big crises. And so just recently, I bet you've even noticed that there's an American Physical Society. They've got a membership of about 50,000 physicists, and there's been a big crack in how the physicists feel as a body about this global frying or global freezing. And they even allowed, they said, let's have an open debate about that and encourage different people to come forward and give papers and make presentations. And so those people did. One of those was a man named Christopher Monckton out of the UK. And when he presented all his information, what Monckton was mainly interested in on this climate change issue was what is called in science climate sensitivity. Now, is climate sensitivity for our planet a really high sensitive, a truly sensitive thing in which any small amount of increase in carbon dioxide, which is the presumed pollutant, poison, and culprit, that any increase in that is going to truly skew world climate. That would be high sensitivity. Or is our climate sensitivity essentially basically pretty low? And all of that goes back to actual science and what one can know and what one can't know and doesn't yet know about the climate. Well, Monckton comes out and really kind of tears the world apart in the last couple of days even, because he says the basic scientific calculations that were done by the group that the United Nations created to carry the ball on this global governance issue, it's a main support for it. That group is called IPCC. You hear that all the time. Well, it's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And those 2,500 men are definitely not all scientists. They're government representatives. And so Monckton comes along and does this incredible thing of going through the science of it and saying, these are facts, scientific facts, that display that the whole climate sensitivity of our planet Earth is very low, not very high. So he says, therefore, we really need to inspect whether we have a climate crisis or not.
I'm always impressed, Floyd, when you see a scientific question treated with hysteria, as any global warming denial, as they refer to it, is, when there's no attempt to try to refute or to rationally discuss a differing scientific position, but an attempt to suppress, to use censorship, to be hysterical, to be hyper-emotional, and to say, don't you dare mention that, the children are still in the room. I must say, even if I knew nothing else about the whole global warming scandal, the fact that the pro-global warming people are the pro-government climate change people, and they're all on the government payroll, as you point out, or where they would like to be on a government payroll, the fact that these people want to shut you up rather than have a discussion seems to me shows that their position is false right there. But obviously the Earth has gone through huge temperature cycles, huge climate change. We obviously had 2 miles of ice over Massachusetts at one point, and some of us think that might not be a bad idea again. But there have been just huge climate changes. Apparently the sun, a shocking news to everybody, the sun has something to do with climate change on Earth. But the idea that, as the late Jude Winiski used to put it, the ants on the beach ball, the human race is somehow having something to do with this, is obviously just crazy. And it's just an excuse to bring in more government, more transfer payments from the productive to the parasites, more control of our lives, and of course this global government. They want a global government in every sense, and this is just another excuse for it. So it's wonderful that there are now cracks, as you say, in the facade, that the real scientists are now stepping forward, the ones who would like to treat this in the traditional method of science and not as a politically incorrect subject that must never be mentioned. I might also add that if there's a silver lining in this depression that we're in the beginning of, it makes it very tough for people who want to make us poorer, and that is the ultimate goal, or one of the ultimate goals, the ideological goals of the whole environmental movement, to make mankind poorer so that allegedly the bugs and the weeds can be happier. That sort of movement has already been undercut by the economic situation, will further be undercut, and maybe we'll have more refineries built, maybe we'll have more nuclear power plants built, maybe we can have more electricity generation, because the whole phony moral facade of the environmental movement, the global warming people, is cracking, not only because of the scientists, but because of the economic situation.
Yeah, if one had health as a mission or a goal, we would have all the energy we could get hold of, and that would certainly mean quite a bit more nuclear than we've ever been permitted to have. But, Lou, remember H.L. Mencken? I bet you do.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And his words about the whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and hence clamorous to be led to safety by threatening them with an endless series of hobgoblins, every one imaginary. And global warming, is a hobgoblin.
No, I just had one of the LRC readers send me an email yesterday. He said, whenever you hear the word terrorists, substitute the bogeyman. He said, this is, of course, yeah, this is what government tries to do, to keep us in a state of fear so that we will be happy to be controlled, happy to turn over our wallets, our children, our property to the federal government or to the world government and let them do to us what they will.
Lou, you would really appreciate Monckton's last line to his conclusion on this paper. The correct policy approach to a non-problem is to have the courage to do nothing. Oh, now there we have President Harding again. Please give us President Harding again.
And again, of course, as you indicate, this is what the government ought to be doing with the economy, too. Do nothing. The old Hippocratic principle. However, politicians seem never to follow it. Floy, thanks very much.
Thank you, Lou.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.